Well, good evening. Welcome to Fellowship Baptist Church tonight. So glad that you've joined us for our Wednesday night connection group. And we're just excited to continue to serve the Lord here on this series on Hebrews chapter 12 tonight is where we'll be again. A few announcements before we get started tonight. Don't forget about the men's prayer breakfast this Saturday at 9 o'clock in the Golden Corral in Smithfield. And there's a sign-up sheet in the front lobby. Men would love for you to bring a grandson or son or neighbors or just have a good time of fellowship and food. And then, of course, we'll pray together. And always a sweet time there. And don't forget also for the deadline for the Arise Youth Conference. The registration is $25. It's due this coming Sunday, so remember that. Door hangers, there is no organized outreach meeting this week. So if you'd like to take some door hangers, we do have those on the front table here, and you can take those with you. It does sound like it's probably going to rain on Saturday, so you might want to take them and do it a little earlier than maybe Friday or something. Just watch the weather. And then also don't forget about the baby shower on June 3rd. That's next week, June 3rd, 2 to 4 p.m. in the gym for Trent and Naomi and their new baby boy on the way, and then the I Choose Pregnancy Center baby bottles. Thank you for taking those. There's just a few left, so thank you so much for all that you've done there. And remember, those are I Choose Pregnancies bottles, so we have to account for each and every one of those bottles. So if you've taken one, please make sure you bring them back, and they go on the front table in the blue basket, or you may give those to Vicki Irvin as well. All right, Hebrews chapter 12 tonight, as we continue our series of the burden of baggage, as we're looking at this theme of laying aside every weight. Let's go back now to the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Again, back to verse 1, let us, this is talking to believers, let us lay aside every weight. Now, we've been looking at several weights through this study. Again, the weights are not necessarily sins. These weights are things that could be good things, but they're baggage. They're hindering our walk. They're hindering our growth. They're hindering our running the race that God has for us. They're weighing us down. So tonight, as we continue our study in this series, we carry unnecessarily these burdens, these baggages. We approach the next burden tonight with caution. With caution. And you'll notice and understand why as we continue tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and mercy. My, where would we be without you? I know I'd probably be in hell tonight, Lord. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for that one that told me, for the one that invited me. Lord, thank you for a Bible-believing church that still preached the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that they took a stand on the Word of God and not concerned about what man may say or naysayers, but just preach the Word of God. Thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us do our part to share, to preach, to teach, to witness, to be a testimony for you. We're your ambassadors here representing you on this earth. Help us, Lord, to be good ambassadors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to the burden of hurt. The burden of hurt. Have you ever been hurt in your life? I'm not talking about a paper cut or broke your arm or something, but have you ever been hurt, emotionally hurt in your life? Most of us, if not all of us, At some point in our lives, we have been hurt by someone. And in the way that we are presenting this lesson tonight, in no way through this message am I condoning what has been done to you. Or am I blaming you for the occurrence of hurt in your life? It's not your fault. So tonight, let's go to see what the Word of God says about the burden of hurt. We'll begin tonight in Psalm 147. In Psalm 147, just the last few pages of the book of Psalms, we come to the 147th Psalm. And it begins in verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Have you ever felt really just down and discouraged? You start singing the Word of God. You start singing praises to God, you'll find real quickly you turn that frown upside down. You'll just have a joy in your spirit. "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel." Notice verse 3. "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Our God heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. Now go over to Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, we notice in verse 15 of Psalm 34, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." Well, praise the Lord, I'm glad they are. "And His ears are open unto their cry." You need something from God? His ears are open to your cry. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Oh, what a promise. He hears our cry because we're one of His, and the Bible says that He will deliver us out of all of our troubles. "The Lord is nigh unto them." He is near unto the brokenhearted. "And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Well, we're going to have afflictions in this life. Not only in this verse, but others we can see in the New Testament, we do have afflictions in this life. But notice the end of verse 19. "But the Lord delivereth him," who's him? The one that is being afflicted. "The Lord delivereth him out of them all." I love those times when you see all encompassed in verses like this. God does not say He's going to heal us of some or deliver us from some or the ones He selects. No, He's going to deliver us from all of them. Now, how He does that, that's God's business. And we might look at it from our eyes and say, well, He didn't deliver from me this and He didn't deliver me from that. God's ways are mysterious ways. His ways are higher than my ways, my thinking. So we just have to trust the Word of God. Now turn with me to the New Testament, to one other place. So we'll go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, where you'll see again in the New Testament, thinking on this subject, the burden of hurt. Romans chapter 12, notice verse 17. Romans 12, 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Vengeance is the Lord, isn't it? "But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, you know, the enemy is the one you want to have vengeance on. You want to extract your wrath on. And now God says, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Just shower them with kindness, those that are causing you hurt. In this hurt that we have experienced, it's typically an inner emotional pain. It's not properly dealt with, though, then there is a progression of emotions that will follow. And that it would and could and usually does in our lives if we harbor on to hurt. There is a progression of these emotions that will occur in our lives. We are human, and our human nature feeds on the emotion if not handled properly, these negative, hurtful emotions. So the progress of emotion looks something like this. First, it starts with annoyance. Annoyance. Somebody's just bugging you, annoying you. And through that, hurt comes. And from hurt comes resentment. Resentment. And from resentment, if it's not dealt with, comes anger. Anger is followed by many things: bitterness, rage, hostility, and the desire for vengeance. So we must keep our hurt in check. We must deal with it properly. Because we do not want it to progress into something even more negative that will harm not only us, but also those around us. Back in 1995, the news reported about a man in California who had a cockroach infestation problem in his apartment. Everybody loves these, right? His landlord stated that the exterior of the apartment complex was the extent of his responsibility. The interior of the apartments was the tenant's responsibility. So this man had tried everything that he could possibly put his hands on, and nothing seemed to get rid of these nasty creatures. He was beyond upset. He became annoyed. Now he's becoming angry at the situation and was seeking a means of taking his vengeance out on these despicable creatures. He's going to get them out of his house. Then one of his co-workers told him about a product, new thing on the market in the 90s called Bug Bomb. And it was an aerosol that simply press a button on the container and you leave for a couple hours and that aerosol will fill the home and it will kill all the bugs in your home. You'll be bug free when you come back home. Now, he's desperate. He's upset. He's angry. Not at his landlord, per se, but for he is angry at the cockroaches. He wants to exact vengeance on them. So he goes to the store to buy the bug bomb, and he does not just buy one can. He does not buy two cans. He does not even buy 10 cans. He bought 25 cans of bug bomb. He said, I'm going to kill these things. there is not going to be one left. He goes to his apartment. He sets them up throughout his apartment, 25 cans of bug bomb, and he sets them off, and he leaves his apartment for a few hours. When he came back, there were a fire department outside of his apartment. What he had failed to take into account was how flammable the bug poison was from 25 cans of bug bomb. And as it's released in this concentrated form, the pilot light of his gas stove ignited the flames. The explosion that resulted blew the doors and windows out of his apartment and set it on fire. He's like, my goodness, I guess it did its job though. There's no more cockroaches. The blast had cost him $10,000. What about the cockroaches? They were seen crawling around the rubble. His vengeance only caused him pain. When asked why he used so many cans and the label says no more than two, he said, I really wanted to kill them all. And I thought if I used a lot more, it would really do the job. You know, if we're not careful, our anger and our hurt that we harbor can lead to some very explosive situations in our lives. Like the man in this story, many times we think that more will be better. The bigger our explosion, the more stronger we'll make our point. You ever yelled at a child that disobeyed? And that soft word didn't turn them away. That louder voice didn't help. So you raise your voice so the neighbor kids can hear you across the street. Did that help? No. You know, if a rattlesnake is backed into a corner, he will sometimes be so angry and agitated that he'll even bite himself. It's exactly what harboring of anger and hurt and resentment against others is. It's biting yourself. It's causing harm to you. We think that we are harming others and holding on to these moments of hurt and resentment. But the deeper hurt is to us. Let me give you some biblical examples of hurt that we see from the pages of Scripture. Over in Ruth chapter 1 begins the wonderful story of the redemption in the life of one woman named Ruth. Chapter 1, though, begins by telling us that there was a famine in the land, and a man named Elimelech took his wife and his two sons out of Israel to a land with food. While there, his two sons married. Life was good. It was good until the husband died. And then the two sons died. We don't really know the reason, but it really doesn't matter. The wife, we know her as Naomi. She has lost the most important people in her life, her husband and her two sons. Death has claimed those she loved. Naomi was blessed in some ways because she had two daughters-in-law. But unfortunately, in the day that she lived, to own land or to have a job, a person must have been a male. And having two more women in her life does not help her much. Her entire life, she feels, has fallen apart. She's in a foreign country. Her family has died, and now the time has come. I must go home. No prospects, no future, no hope. I must go home. She returns home and Ruth says, I'm going to go with you. She pledges to be by her side. Your God will be my God. When she arrives, the whole town welcomes Naomi and was stirred by her return. But what does Naomi say to the crowd? In chapter 1 and verse 20, she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Lord and the Almighty hath afflicted me? She's blaming God. She has experienced hurt. She has experienced now resentment, and it is now going through the progressions of this lineage of hurt and emotions. And she's at the point now where she's so angry, she's angry at God, and God has afflicted me. Oh, this must be dealt with quickly, or she's going to continue down the wrong path. Naomi says her life is very bitter. She blames God for her circumstances. She feels there's no goodness, only misfortune in her life. Does God do all things well? Can we understand the ways of God? Of course not. God had a purpose. And we can see, as we know, the rest of the story, the book of Ruth, of the kinsman redeemer and the birth of the child. God blessed. Now notice 1 Samuel chapter 18. Chapters 18 and chapters 19 of 1 Samuel give us the beginning of the end of the first king of Israel. His name was Saul. Though he never cast such a great light of himself, nor reflects God's greatness in his life. King Saul, though, allows a young man by the name of David to fight with him and to fight the Philistines. He gives him task after task after task. And what does David do? David does those tasks and he does them well to honor the Lord, and the Lord honors him. David prospered in everything that he attempted to do. But notice chapter 18 and verse 6. 1 Samuel 18:6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul. I always think it's funny that the king there is lowercase king. With tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, angry. And the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the spirit of the house, in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. What Saul has done is he's gone through the whole progression of emotion of hurt. He's not only resented and angry at David, he wants to extract vengeance on David. He is at that point of rage, hostility, and vengeance. It's really the beginning of the end for King Saul's reign. Saul had become so angry that it turned to bitterness. Other negative emotions started to torment Saul, and Saul took action to kill David. If we do not check the emotions of hurt and anger, they progress in our lives. As many have observed, anger is only one letter away from danger. Anger is dangerous. You must deal with it properly because it is right next door to danger. Next, let's look at an analysis of our hurt. Let's examine our hurt and find out the deeper issues of it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, of course, we have Cain and Abel. Anger is a very complex emotion and can have a profound effect on you and the people around you. Anger can cause you to act in ways that might not make you feel very proud of yourself afterwards. Anger can cause you to make mistakes that you will later regret. Anger can also become challenging to control. Even can cause complications in your life, such as coping with it through addictions. If you do not wholly understand your anger, it can be that much harder to manage it. There is a root cause, so we must dig deep to understand the root cause of our anger. In Genesis 4, notice we have here Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, and we come to verse 3 of Genesis 4. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So he's already starting to progress in his emotions of hurt and resentment. Now he's wroth. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. Shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God tried to give Cain a second chance there. If you'll confess it and you'll come back to me with the right offering, I'll accept it. But if you don't, sin lieth at the door. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Oh, everything's well. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother. Things are not well. And slew him. He murdered his brother. He resented his brother. He was hurt by what God had done. He was hurt by his brother being his offering be accepted and not his. He harbored bitterness and anger, and it turned into vengeance, hostility. And the Lord said unto Cain, in verse 8, where is Abel thy brother? Now, God didn't have to ask. God knew. He's trying to get Cain to confess. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Without the proper tools, anger can cause you to act out in very aggressive ways, causing a great deal of pain and further unrest. Anger is especially challenging to control and resist the temptation to act out as it grows inside of you. The first step to understanding and identifying and analyzing your anger is to learn how it can be considered secondarily. It's not the primary emotion. It is a result of something. Studies have identified anger as this secondary emotion, and it's fueled by many emotions. So, for example, if you become hurt in some way, you might express this negative emotion instead of emotional and physical pain. It might be easier to express anger than express hurt. Hurt can make you feel vulnerable. And when you feel helpless, you might feel as if you need to protect yourself. So your defense mechanism is to act out in anger. You mask, and we mask our feelings of sadness and hurt and grief with anger. It's easier. Because anger is so easy to feel, it can distract you from experience the healing that you need. Among the most triggering primary emotions of anger is frustration. Frustration is often experienced when you are feeling helpless or out of control. Over time, this emotion can cause your mood to stew into reaching an angry state. Anger is also a common symptom of depression and discouragement. If you're feeling depressed or discouraged, you might be overwhelmed with hopelessness and sadness. When a lot of stress and anxiety cause depression, it can make even the simplest of tasks unbearable. But when you feel overwhelmed, you lash out in anger. Depression can lead to negative thoughts and behaviors, all of which are from a negative perspective of anger. So there's stages of hurt. As we're identifying these hurts, we now look at the stages of hurt. First, you get annoyed, that annoyance. Studies have shown that most people become annoyed a few times per day. And this is a sign that something or someone is slightly bothersome and irritating you. Example, someone has just used the last spoon in the break room and does not look for the box to replenish them, and we become annoyed. Frustrated. When anger escalates beyond just a mild bothersome, you feel stress levels begin to rise, and you move into this state of frustration. Your blood pressure is starting to rise, and you can feel it. If not put in check, then hostility follows. Hostility tends to happen when there has been a large buildup of stress and pain and anxiety in your life. Your tolerance for frustrating events is too low, and you can't take any more. It can come on many ways, but when it boils up and out of you, everybody better watch out. And then comes enraged. This is the stage when you feel completely out of control. You may exhibit destructive behavior. When your anger reaches this point, such lashing out physically and violently with threats can happen very quickly, because the rational center of the brain is time to only think, let's explore this some more. Cain takes his brother out to the field, murders him. Moses sees the taskmaster beating one of his own and kills him. Saul is just so upset and throws a javelin to kill David twice, it says. We must put it in control and learn what to do with it. But there is a plan. There is a way. And there is a recovery from hurt. So we must learn the biblical way of dealing with emotional hurt and anger. Praise the Lord, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 how to do this. If you'll notice with me, we'll be here to finish the sermon tonight. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible's our guide. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Bible has the answer that we need? Then we need to go look at it, right? No other self-help book will help you like the Word of God. So we need to see what God says. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25, Paul is beginning to instruct the church of Ephesus, as well as us, how not to grieve God. Ephesians 4, verse 25, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not." There is a good anger. Pastor preached on that Sunday night. There is a good, a righteous, a holy anger. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You think if you've reached that point of hostility, that maybe some things that come out of your mouth are corrupt communication? They're not to the edifying of others? Verse 30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now we'll come back to verse 32. Let's stop here for verse 31 for a minute. These things grieve the Spirit of God, and He resides within all believers. These negative emotions allow our actions and our words and our thoughts to cause the Holy Spirit of God to grieve. Now, verse 31 is not a suggestion. Verse 31 is a command. It is to rid ourselves of all bitterness, all wrath. Wrath is harshness for a time. Rage for a time. That's wrath. And it says anger. This is a lasting resentment. You hang on to it. Oh, this feels good. Clamor. This word's an interesting word, clamor. It's compared to a horse carrying for its rider anger. So when you're clamoring, you've just put on anger on your back. Says, "Let's go. Where are we going with it?" You are out of control, and it's starting to rule. Evil speaking is blasphemy and railing against others. This is not edifying. This is hostile. And then with all malice. Malice is maliciousness, wickedness. It's a physical act. We're getting to the point of vengeance here. These emotions pretty much cover the progression of hurt. So how do we rid ourselves of these negative emotions that grieve God? Well, we have verse 32. If you don't know Ephesians 4:32 by memory, there's a great song that puts this verse to song. It's a good song. I'm not a singer. Maybe I'll get Miss Joy to play it for you sometime. I'll teach her and she can play it for you. But it's a good song to sing to yourself. It says, "And be ye kind one to another." Well, if that's all it said, that's enough. But it goes on, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, if it just said that, that was enough. But then it makes the ending with an exclamation point on it. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse 32 tells us in the plainest of terms how to get rid of this progression of hurt and anger and the emotions that are tied to it. If you want to be free from annoyance and irritability, let it go. Let it go. If you want to be free from resentment and hurt, let it go. If you want to be free from wrath and anger, let it go. If you want to be free from rage and vengeance, let it go. Those three words, let it go, is another way of saying forgive. Forgive. Be ye kind one to another, even to the enemies, to the ones that have hurt you, to the ones you want to take a javelin and throw at them. Tenderhearted. Compassionate. What's the next word? Forgiving one another. Forgiving. That's hard. Oh, yeah, it is. You don't know what they've done to me. No, but God does. And He's forgiven you. And He asks us to forgive others. We need to start showing kindness. We need to start showing tenderness and compassion to that person that we are upset with. And as we do that, you'll start to see that bitterness start to dissolve in your heart. That resentment. The reason we have bitterness and resentment in our lives is that we have chosen to hang on to that hurt, to hang on to that pain, to hang on to that anger. And the Word of God commands us, let it go. Give it to me. Forgive. One day, two monks were walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they spied an elderly woman sitting at the edge of the river weeping. She was upset because there was no bridge and she could not cross the river on her own. The first monk kindly offered, "We will carry you across if you would like." "Oh, thank you," she said gratefully, accepting their help. So the two men joined hands, lifted her between them, and carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down and she went on her way joyfully. They took up their journey again. And as they walked along a mile or so, the second monk began to complain. He says, "Look at my clothes. They are filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back hurts from lifting her. I can feel it getting stiff." The first monk just smiled and nodded his head and continued to walk. A few more miles down the road, the second monk again griped and said, "My back is hurting me so badly, and it's all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any further because of the pain." The first monk looked down at his partner, who was now lying on the ground, moaning. "Have you wondered why I am not complaining?" he asked him. "Your back hurts because you're still carrying the woman. I set her down 5 miles ago. What are you still carrying that you should have set down 5 miles ago? Why not give it to God?" One last verse over in Colossians chapter 3 helps us here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. "But now ye also put off these." We are to put them off. Set them aside. Lay aside. Remember Hebrews 12, 1? Lay aside every weight. "But now ye also put off these," all these, "anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." All of these are the progression of hurt and resentment and pain and anger. "Lie not to one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Simply tonight, we need to put off the resentment, the hurt, the irritability, the annoyance, the bitterness, the anger. I pray it hasn't gotten to the point of wrath and rage, hostility, or even considering vengeance. We need to put those things off. We need to let them go. We need to stop carrying them. And then we need to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So I ask you again tonight, what are you still carrying that you need to let go of, that you should have set down 5 miles ago? Why not give it to God tonight? He'll take it. And you'll feel so much better for giving it to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that the Word of God has the answers. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that will lead us and direct us, that will illuminate the Scriptures for us and help us like no other book on this earth. It is a living book that is there to help us and guide us and direct us in this thing called life. Lord, we've been hurt. We harbor resentment. We harbor bitterness. We are annoyed at people. Lord, but we need to let those things go. We do not want it to progress into something that we will be ashamed of and that will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray tonight as we have gone through the burden of hurt that you would show us individually what we're carrying that we don't need to be carrying. And Lord, help us dedicate a time tonight where we're just going to give it to you. We're going to let it go. Not pick it up again. We're just going to let it go and move on down the road in this thing called the Christian life. Direct our steps. Guide our steps. Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts and help us to see what we're harboring. And then give us the strength and the courage to give it to you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.